Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're tackling something that sounds maybe a little dry at first, but trust me, it's super fascinating. We're going to be looking at the dating of the Book of Deuteronomy.
And as always, I'm so excited to be back to chat about this stuff with you.
Me too. So to kick things off, for those who maybe haven't cracked open a Bible in a while, What exactly is Deuteronomy? Like, what should our listeners picture when they hear that word?
So picture like a combo of a legal document and a super inspiring pep talk. It basically lays out all these laws and principles for the Israelites, and it's in the Old Testament. And traditionally, it's always been connected with Moses giving like his final speech before the Israelites enter the Promised Land.
Okay, so it's kind of a big deal then. But why does it matter so much exactly when it was written? Like, why are we doing a whole deep dive on the date?
Well, think of it this way. Imagine you're trying to put together a puzzle and you've got like this one crucial corner piece that connects a whole bunch of other pieces together.
Like, there you're going with this.
Deuteronomy is kind of like that corner piece for a big chunk of the Old Testament. For ages, scholars thought it was written around 621 BC, tying it to all those reforms that King Josiah was doing.
Right, right.
But here's the thing. That date, that 621 BC date, it's been challenged, and that throws a wrench into the whole puzzle.
Oh, hold up. Challenge. So you're saying maybe it wasn't written in 621 BC. And how does a book of laws turn into like a puzzle piece for history?
Okay, so the Bible is like a collection of writings, right? And those were written and put together over centuries. So if we're saying Deuteronomy is from 621 BC, then it becomes this reference point for dating all these other parts of the Old Testament. It's like a marker on a timeline.
Okay, I think I'm getting it. So if that marker gets moved, then a bunch of other stuff might need to be moved too.
Precisely. Like, let's say we suddenly find out a historical event happened way earlier or later than we thought. Suddenly we're looking at everything before and after that event differently.
That makes total sense. Oh. So who was the first person to suggest that maybe 621 BC was wrong for Deuteronomy?
That would be a scholar named Julius Wellhausen back in the 19th century. He really shook things up by saying that religious ideas actually developed over time. And he put Deuteronomy later in the timeline.
Yeah.
One of his big points was that Deuteronomy focuses on having just one central sanctuary for worship, which he thought reflected a later stage of how the Israelites practiced their religion.
So if he's right, and Deuteronomy came later, does that mean the whole idea of a single place of worship also developed later?
Yeah, that's one way to interpret it.
Wow.
But here's where it gets even more complicated. The Bible itself seems to back up that 621 BC date. If you look at 2 Kings chapters 22 and 23, there's this whole account of a book of the law being found in the temple. And this is during Josiah's reign. A lot of scholars think that book was actually Deuteronomy.
Hmm. So the Bible's being used to date itself. Seems a little circular to me.
Right. And that's why this whole debate gets pretty intense. If you take that story in 2 Kings as totally accurate history, well then, yeah, it strengthens the argument for 621 BC. But if you start poking holes in that story, then the foundation for that date starts to get shaky.
Okay, now you've really got me curious. What are the reasons people might question that story in 2 Kings? Are we going down some conspiracy theory rabbit hole here?
Well, some scholars have actually suggested something called a pious fraud theory.
A pious fraud?
Yeah, basically they're saying that maybe the book wasn't actually found. Maybe it was planted there to make Josiah's reforms seem more legitimate. Like, hey, look, these big changes we're making, they're based on ancient law.
Wow, that's a pretty bold claim. So if the 621 BC date is so controversial, what are the other options? Mm-hmm. When else could Deuteronomy have been written?
Well, there are a few main contenders. Some scholars argue for a post-exilic date, meaning it was written after the Jewish people came back from exile in Babylon.
Okay, so remind me again, what does post-exilic mean exactly?
It means after they returned to Judah from being in exile in Babylon. So picture this. Instead of being a blueprint for Josiah's reforms, Deuteronomy is now a message of hope and rebuilding for a community that's picking up the pieces after this huge upheaval.
Ah, that's a really different vibe.
Right. It becomes this source of comfort for people who have lost everything. And if you think about it, that historical context makes a lot of sense. They were dealing with stuff like religious purity, rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem.
Yeah, I see how the date totally changes the whole meaning. So what about the other dating theories? You mentioned something called a pre-monarchical origin. That sounds like a really long time ago.
It is. That theory says that at least parts of Deuteronomy could be from before the monarchy even started in Israel. We're talking centuries before Josiah, a time when we don't have a ton of historical info.
Wow, that's pushing it back pretty far.
Mm.
Do scholars have any hard evidence to support such an early date?
It's definitely the most controversial theory. But there are some interesting arguments. Some scholars point to the language and the style of writing in Deuteronomy. They say it has similarities to other ancient texts from the Near East that are from around that time period.
Fascinating.
And they also say some of the laws and customs in Deuteronomy sound more like a rural farming society, which might fit better with a pre-monarchical setting.
So they're like detectives looking for clues in the words themselves.
Exactly. It's all about trying to reconstruct the past from these little fragments of evidence.
This is so interesting that I gotta admit, my head's spinning a little with all these different possibilities. How do we even begin to make sense of it all?
It's definitely a lot to take in. And it's important to remember there's not one right answer. Even among experts who study this stuff, there's a ton of debate and disagreement.
So are you saying we should just throw up our hands and say, who knows?
Not at all. It's not about finding the one definitive answer. It's about exploring all these different viewpoints and realizing that each one offers us a valuable perspective. When we consider them all together, we start to get a much richer understanding of how complex Deuteronomy really is and all its potential meanings.
I like that. It's not about the right answer, but about asking the right questions.
Exactly. And sometimes in the process of asking those questions, we stumble upon new insights that we never even thought of before.
That's what I love about these deep dives. They always leave me with more questions than answers. But before we totally disappear down that rabbit hole, let's shift gears a bit. Let's talk about the arguments for the traditional view, the one that links Deuteronomy to Moses himself. How do people who believe that view respond to all the challenges we've been talking about?
They often come at it from a different angle. They put a lot of emphasis on the idea of divine inspiration and the importance of tradition.
So they're saying that even if Moses didn't physically write every word with his own hand, the book still reflects his teachings and the will of God.
That's one way to put it. They might argue that Deuteronomy, as part of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, represents this collection of Mosaic traditions. Traditions that were passed down orally for a long time and then eventually written down.
So it's like a tapestry woven from different threads.
Yeah, I like that. And they would say that the book itself claims to be written by Moses. That's evidence that this connection to Moses is real.
But how do they explain those claims when we have all this historical and literary evidence that seems to point to a later date?
That's where things get really tricky and where different interpretations come in. Some people might say that those details in Deuteronomy that seem to contradict a Mosaic origin, well, maybe those are symbolic or allegorical, not meant to be taken as literal historical facts.
So those mentions of local shrines and kings, maybe they have a deeper meaning that goes beyond the literal historical context.
Exactly. They might also say that later editors or redactors, basically ancient scribes, maybe they shaped the text over time. They might have added or adapted certain passages to fit their own historical context.
Wait, hold on. Redactors. That's a new word for me. What does that mean?
A redactor is basically an editor who works with existing texts. Revising, compiling, rearranging it was a pretty common thing in ancient literature. And it helps explain how texts could change over time, but still keep hold of those core traditions.
They're like the ancient version of editors and compilers.
Pretty much. So basically they're saying even if Moses didn't personally write every single word of Deuteronomy, his spirit and his teachings are still woven into the fabric of the book. It's a really nuanced perspective that acknowledges both divine inspiration and human involvement in how the text came to be.
This is all so fascinating. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface here.
We definitely have, and that's what's so cool about it. There's always more to explore, more layers to uncover.
Well, before we get too carried away, let's give our listeners a chance to digest all this info. When we come back, we'll wrap up our deep dive and talk about what all of this means for how we read and understand Deuteronomy today. All right, we are back and ready to keep unraveling this Deuteronomy mystery. So before the break, we were talking about how the date of this book is like a key to unlocking its deeper meaning. And we left off with a few different possibilities for when it might have been written.
Yep, each one offering a totally different way of understanding Deuteronomy.
Okay, so let's dig into those possibilities. First up, we have the traditional view, which puts Deuteronomy right around 621 BC, right?
Right. The traditional view links it to King Josiah and all those religious reforms he was making. Remember that story from 2 Kings about the book of the law being found in the temple during Josiah's reign? Well, this view says that book was actually Deuteronomy, and that finding it sparked Josiah's efforts to centralize worship in Jerusalem.
So basically, Deuteronomy becomes like the blueprint for Josiah's reforms. Mm. But you said some scholars don't agree with this view, right? What are their arguments against it?
Well, one of the main challenges is that if you look closely at the text itself, some things don't quite add up. Certain details about society, religious practices, even the political situation, they don't really match what we know about Judah in the 7th century BC when Josiah was king.
So it's like finding a historical document that mentions airplanes, but we know airplanes weren't invented for centuries.
Exactly. Something's not quite right.
What kind of details in Deuteronomy seem out of place for Josiah's time?
For example, Deuteronomy talks about a system of local shrines and altars, which seems to contradict Josiah's big push to centralize worship in just one place, Jerusalem. It also mentions these officials called kings who ruled over smaller territories within Israel. And that kind of situation didn't really exist under Josiah.
So those little details are kind of hinting that maybe this wasn't written when we thought it was.
Right. And those hints have led some scholars to propose other dates. One of them is the post-exilic theory, which says Deuteronomy was written much later, after the Babylonian exile, like in the 5th or 4th century BC.
Okay, post-exilic. Remind me what that means again.
It refers to the period after the Jewish people returned to Judah from exile in Babylon. So picture this. Instead of being a guide for King Josiah's reforms, Deuteronomy is now this message of hope and restoration for a community that's trying to rebuild their lives and their identity after this traumatic experience.
Wow, that's powerful. So instead of guiding a powerful king, it's comforting people who've lost everything.
Exactly. It takes on a whole new meaning, right? And that historical context fits much better. They were grappling with issues like religious purity and rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem.
Yeah, I'm seeing how the date completely changes everything. It's like we're looking at Deuteronomy through a whole new lens. Mm-hmm. What about those other dating theories? You mentioned pre-monarchical origin, which seems pretty radical.
It is. This theory suggests that Deuteronomy, or at least parts of it, could go back to a time even before kings like David and Solomon. That would put it centuries before Josiah, in a period where we have very little historical information to go on.
Whoa, that's going way back. Do scholars have any solid evidence to support such an early date?
It's definitely the most controversial theory, but there are some interesting arguments. For instance, some scholars point to the language and style of the book, arguing that it has similarities to other ancient Near Eastern texts from that period.
Interesting.
They also point out that some of the laws and customs described in Deuteronomy seem to reflect a more rural agricultural society, which might fit better with a pre-monarchical context.
So they're like linguistic detectives looking for clues in the words themselves to point to a different era.
Exactly. Trying to piece together the past from these little fragments of evidence.
I'm loving this detective work, but I have to admit it's a lot to take in.
It is, and it's important to remember that there's no easy answer, no one right answer. Even among scholars who study this stuff, there's a lot of debate and disagreement.
So what are we supposed to do? Just throw up our hands and say, who knows?
Not at all. It's not about finding the definitive answer. It's about embracing the mystery, exploring all these different viewpoints. And you know what? Each viewpoint offers a valuable perspective.
Okay, I like that. It's not about being right, but about looking at it from different angles.
Exactly. And when we do that, we get a much richer, more nuanced understanding of Deuteronomy.
That's what I love about these deep dives. They always leave me with more questions than answers. But let's move on to the arguments for that traditional view, the one that links Deuteronomy to Moses. How do people who hold that view address all the challenges we've been talking about?
Well, they often approach the text with a different set of assumptions. They emphasize divine inspiration and the continuity of tradition.
So they're saying that even if Moses didn't sit down and write every single word himself, the book still captures his teachings and reflects God's will.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They might say that Deuteronomy, as part of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, is really like a compilation of Mosaic traditions. Traditions that were passed down orally for generations and then eventually written down.
So it's like a tapestry woven together from threads of these different traditions, all connected to Moses in some way.
That's a great analogy. And they would also point to the fact that the book itself claims to be written by Moses as evidence for that connection.
But how do they square those claims with the historical and literary evidence that seems to point to a later date?
That's where things get really complex and different interpretations come into play. Some might say that those details in Deuteronomy that seem to contradict a Mosaic origin are actually symbolic or allegorical, not meant to be taken literally as historical facts.
So maybe those mentions of local shrines and kings have a deeper symbolic meaning that goes beyond the literal historical context.
Exactly. And they might also suggest that later editors or redactors, think of them like ancient scribes, shaped the text over time, Maybe they added or adapted passages to fit their own historical context.
Wait, redactors? That's a new term for me. What exactly does that mean?
Basically, a redactor is an editor who works with existing texts, revising them, compiling them, rearranging them. It was a common practice in the ancient world, and it helps explain how texts could evolve over time while still preserving those core traditions.
So they're like the ancient world's version of editors and compilers.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So they're saying that even if Moses didn't write every single word of Deuteronomy himself, his spirit and his teachings are still woven into the fabric of the book.
That's a great way to sum it up. It's a perspective that recognizes both the divine inspiration and the human involvement in how the text came to be.
This is all so fascinating. We've really gone deep into the weeds here.
We have, and it's amazing how much depth there is to this one question about the date of Deuteronomy.
I know, right? It's mind-blowing. Well, before we get too lost in the weeds, let's give our listeners a chance to catch their breath. When we come back, we'll wrap up our deep dive and consider what all of this means for how we understand and interpret Deuteronomy today. And we are back for the final part of our Deuteronomy deep dive. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? I feel like we've time traveled through centuries of biblical history and scholarship, just trying to figure out when this one book was written.
I know, right? It's incredible how much one little detail can unlock. We've seen how the date of Deuteronomy can totally change how we see the book's purpose, its historical context, and even who wrote it.
Absolutely. Before the break, we were discussing how some scholars hold on to that traditional view of Mosaic authorship, even with all the challenges we talked about. To be honest, I'm still wrapping my head around how they reconcile those two things.
It's tricky, for sure. It requires a different way of approaching the whole idea of what authorship even means in the ancient world. Remember, we're talking about texts that were copied and passed down and compiled over centuries. The idea of one person sitting down with a quill and parchment and writing a book from beginning to end, well, that wasn't always how it worked back then.
So it's more like a group effort, with different voices and traditions coming together over time.
That's a good way to think about it. Those who support Mosaic authorship often focus on the role of divine inspiration in that process. They might say that even if Moses didn't physically write every single word, his spirit and his teachings are still all over the text.
Okay, so it's not about a word-for-word dictation from Moses, but more about a deeper connection to his legacy and the traditions associated with him.
Exactly. They might point to those parts of Deuteronomy that sound like Moses is speaking directly to the Israelites, you know, giving them instructions and warnings before they enter the Promised Land. And they see those passages as reflecting the heart of what Moses taught, even if the final form of the book took shape much later.
But doesn't that raise questions about whether it's historically accurate? I mean, if parts of Deuteronomy were written centuries after Moses lived, can we really trust those parts as being a reliable account of his words and actions?
That's a huge question, and one that scholars are always wrestling with. Some who believe in Mosaic authorship argue that any later additions or changes were guided by the Holy Spirit. So the text stayed true to its original purpose and message.
So they're saying that even the process of transmission and editing was divinely inspired in a way, that it preserved the essence of what Moses taught, even as the text itself evolved.
That's one way to understand it. It's a perspective that values faith and tradition as much as historical analysis. And it's important to remember that many people find deep meaning and spiritual guidance in that traditional understanding of Deuteronomy.
That's a good point. Sometimes it's easy to get lost in all the academic debates and forget that this book has been a source of inspiration for so many people for so long.
It's true. And that's why it's so important to approach these discussions with respect for different viewpoints. Whether you tend to lean towards a more critical approach or a more traditional one, the goal is to engage with the text in a thoughtful, open way and let it speak to you.
So where does all this leave our listeners? They've heard all these different dating theories and interpretations, and maybe they're feeling a little lost. What are the key takeaways they should remember?
I think the biggest takeaway is that figuring out when Deuteronomy was written is a really complex question with no easy answer. But that doesn't mean we should just give up. The process of wrestling with these different perspectives can actually make our reading of the text much richer.
So it's about embracing the mystery, asking questions, and being open to new insights.
Exactly. And remember, you don't need a PhD in biblical studies to do this. The Bible is a book that invites all of us to engage with it, to think critically about it, and to find meaning in its stories and teachings.
It reminds us that the Bible isn't just some ancient relic. It's a living, breathing text that still speaks to us today.
I love that. And as you continue exploring Deuteronomy, I encourage you to keep all these different perspectives in mind. Think about how the date might affect how you understand the book's message, its purpose, and what it means for your own life.
That's a great challenge for our listeners. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to thank you for being our guide to this fascinating and sometimes mind-bending topic.
It's been a pleasure. And remember, the exploration doesn't end here. The real journey begins when you open the book itself and start reading with fresh eyes and an open heart.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
So to our listeners, happy reading. May your journey through Deuteronomy lead you to new insights and a deeper appreciation for this incredible text. And until next time, keep those minds curious and keep diving deep.